Hi, I'm Bill Goodrich, president of Horizon University. Are you interested in completing your college degree from a Christ-centered, biblically integrated, and fully accredited university? In associate and bachelor degree programs designed for students to excel in their professions as they win and disciple others for Christ in business and ministry. For a theologically sound, affordable, and accredited college institution, visit horizonuniversity.edu and start earning your degree. Excellent teaching today for the leaders of tomorrow. Today, our choice will either decide if we will be in eternity in heaven or eternity separated from God in a place called hell, a real place. Come and see what God has done. Come and see of His great love. Come and hear the story of God's own Son as we hear the pages turn, journey through the Word.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers will bring one to you. That was a great analogy by Ron, wasn't it? The eclipse thing. I was really surprised that he would do that. It would be so good. There's a lot of people from our fellowship chasing that thing. They headed south. Pray for them that they would be safe on the way back. And again, a warning, do not look into the sun unless you have the proper glasses. And be careful, make sure you have the proper glasses. Is God good? He is. We're going to look today at the, well, if you need a Bible, we're going to look at the sower of the seed, okay? The parable of the sower. And it's just a great parable. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, then you won't understand truly the other parables. Why would he say that? There's a lot of good reasons, and we're going to talk about that today as we go through. But I also entitled this, The Way of Fruitfulness. As Christians, we want to be fruitful. And as we go through this parable, you can see degrees of fruitfulness. And we can see things that go on in our hearts, in our lives as Christians, that will allow us to have 30-fold fruitfulness, 6-fold fruitfulness, or 100-fold fruitfulness. So we're going to look at that as we go through here, as we look at this parable. Now, I believe personally, contextually speaking, that what you have Jesus teaching about the issue of salvation. So keep that in mind. Foremost, I believe, personally, there's discussion about this, and people land different ways. I believe he is in the midst of all these people that don't know him by the side, and he's teaching this parable to open their hearts to who he truly is. Many there do not know who he truly is. But in application, it's definitely applied to us as Christians, those that are believers. So there were believers there, too, going through this teaching. And he had an intent for them to learn and grow closer to him. So contextually speaking, again, I feel it's an issue of salvation that he's addressing in many, many ways. But then an application to us, we'll see as we go through as Christians. So the sower of the seed, the way of fruitfulness. I've also put down the title. I got four titles for this. Aren't you impressed? Four titles. The third one is power of choice. Today, our choice will either decide if we will be in eternity in heaven or eternity separated from God in a place called hell, a real place. That's our choice. That's how powerful it is. And he will not take away our choice. As we go through here, you'll see that. He yields himself. He challenges us in any way he can, but he yields to the reality, as we will see in verses 11 and 12. He won't force himself upon us. He will not take away our ability to choose. But he will work in any way he can to get us to listen to what he would teach us. And then the fourth one I've found, okay, the sower of the seed, the way of fruitfulness, the power of choice. The other one is, where do you fit in? Where do you fit in as we go through this today in application? Where is it that you fit in? Where is it that I fit in? Do I find in my life 30-fold fruit? Do I find 60-fold fruit? And either way, it's fruitfulness. It truly is. But do I find in my life 100-fold? I'd like to present to you, your consideration, that in our lives, sometimes we find there is 100-fold fruit. Yippee! Right? Right? You know, we're all excited. Oh, I can't believe it's just this is happening in my life. Other times there's this 60. Okay, Lord, I'd love to see more fruit in this area. So we begin to pray about it. And sometimes there's this 30-fold fruit, but there's still fruitfulness in the midst of our lives. It's all good. He's not scolding, as we'll get down to this. He's not scolding us in any way. But there's that encouragement that we can be even more fruitful. In John chapter 15, it says that we might have fruit, there might be more fruit, there might be much fruit, but the desire is that the fruit remains. Amen? And so we're going to look at this parable. It's a beautiful, beautiful parable. Look at verse 1, Mark chapter 4. It says, "And again, he," being Jesus, "began to teach." This was his custom. He would go and he would teach the word of God by the sea. "And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching." Now, this is a first parable. No doubt, as it says there, there's other parables. Mark brought all the parables together here in chapter 4. Chapter 13 of Matthew, you see a lot of parables brought together there. Jesus taught in this way to his disciples, yes, but also to those that would gather around him. Because it would not only test their intellect, but that wasn't the ultimate purpose. It would test their hearts. It would test their hearts. Would they truly seek even further to find out what he was talking about? It's an amazing thing. God, Jesus, did not come a white horse 2,000 years ago. He came as the Lamb of God to die on the cross that we might be forgiven of all of our sins. He could have come and set the earth in order and he could have just did whatever he needed to do, but he came that way. And so he came that way for a lot of reasons, but one, that he came and that he would be able to present himself in such a way that those who had ears to hear might hear. Those that had eyes to see might see. But he's not going to take away freedom of choice. He's not going to take away our ability to choose. So you see that in the midst of this parable too. Now, for those that are wondering, if you've ever been, haven't been to Israel by the Sea of Galilee, you can, right there, there's this natural amphitheaters. They're amazing. And you can sit down on the shore and you can speak up into that amphitheater. The sea is behind you and you can speak up and people way up there can hear every single word. They don't need amplification there. We've been there one time and I was standing here and there's a little house over there all by itself, kind of like a farmhouse. And I was just sitting here and I was amazed, and it was a little lower down and I was just standing here and I could hear the squeaking of the screen door. I could hear this door shut, and you could hear the conversation that they were having right there on the front porch. And I thought, "Ooh, you better be careful what you're saying," you know, and all. But it was just this natural amphitheater. So Jesus is a wise teacher. Not only does he make learning fun, he takes them out to the Sea of Galilee, a beautiful setting in that way, but also he is aware of his surroundings. All teachers should be aware of their surroundings, constantly evaluating what is going on. I'm watching you guys. Right now, I'm watching who's asleep. And the ushers have a big, you remember how they used to do it in the old churches and everything? They had these big, long poles with big metal things on it, and they would bonk them. Watch out, they're here today. They really are. So this parable, if I ever get into it, it's a great parable. Okay, it really is. Now notice in verse 3, it says, "Listen." He starts out by saying, "Listen." That's an amazing thing. This ultimately is a picture of Jesus pleading with his people not to come for physical healings, not to come to observe miracles, not to come for entertainment, but at all costs simply to listen to the word about the kingdom of God. He's going to teach in a powerful way. He's going to evangelize in a wonderful way. He's going to come to those that have ears to hear, and he's going to plant that seed in their hearts. And they will make a decision on what happens to that seed. And so we need to say, he just simply comes and says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. Now we have to realize back in those days, the sower would have a sack. And he would reach into that sack and he would spread the seed like this. Nowadays, you have things called, what are those things called, those machines? Combines, right? I got to be careful there. Combines. I can't tell you that story. There's young hearts here. It was one of my most embarrassing moments as a pastor. One of my most important. I won't tell you. No way. I won't tell you. No. Don't try to convince me. I won't tell you. I promise I won't tell you. No, I won't. I won't do it. I'm going to go beyond that one. I'm starting to get embarrassed already. So where was I? Oh, those combines. You know, I've been on them. You know, just my son-in-law's family has the lamb farm and all that. And anyway, they know exactly the moisture of the sea, or the land, the, what is it, the earth. You guys are still waiting, aren't you? I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. It's a good one, though. It really is, you know. It's a good one. Anyway, I was on this combine, and he invited me to come up on it, and he showed me all, you know, everything, this, that, connected to the, you know, the satellite and all that, you know. And he says, listen, I want you to look at this. I can tell where every seed is. I can tell the moisture of that ground where the seed went in. And I was blown away. So I came here on a Sunday morning telling everybody about it. And see, I climbed up on that combine to see all of this. So I told everybody, I climbed up on that concubine to see all this. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. Okay. True to form, I told you I wouldn't tell you. Wouldn't tell you. Listen, Jesus says, behold, a sower went out to sow. Very important. The sower could be you. The sower can be me right now, sowing. The sower can be the Holy Spirit, God himself. And he goes and he's concerned about human beings. And he knows that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So what he sows is the word of God. That's what he does in our lives. We need counseling, he sows the word of God. We need encouragement, he sows the word of God. We need to be challenged, he sows the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But for that to happen, we have to allow ourselves to be in an environment. Today, there are many churches in Indianapolis. Praise the Lord, good churches. And I pray that the word is being sown every single day. Praise the Lord. But unfortunately, there's many where they aren't teaching the word. They teach whatever they teach, and people lose out. Jesus knew that a sower was go and sow the word of God, and that's what's happening. But as we go into verse 4, look at this. It says, and it happened as he sowed, the sower, the farmer, threw out that seed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air and came and devoured it. Now, we're going to have definition, understanding of that as we get into the rest of the parable here. You've read it before. But we just look here at the wayside. Now, as that seed is thrown out, it's just going to fall because of the way they throw it out in those days. And then after they threw it out, they came and plowed it under. And then, you know, they began to pray that there would be fruitfulness in the way. A little different than we do it today. But that seed would go out. And some, Jesus said, falls by the wayside. It's there. It's not even in the field. It could be in a path that's trampled down and all that. And it has no root. It's not to grow. The seed did not spring up, in other words, being picked up, as we see, by the birds. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. We're going to find out who these birds are in just a moment. But verse 5. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Now, you've studied it before. We know the stony ground. You know, a lot of times we get the image of this field with a lot of rocks in it. Big rocks. Have you ever seen fields with big giant rocks in it and all that? Farmers and you know, those who were planting the seed weren't that stupid. They'd go out there and they'd pull the rocks out of the field. They knew it was important. So it's not a field full of rocks that are observed. This is why it's important to understand what's going on here. It's a field that underneath what appears to be good soil, and it's good soil, is a layer of solid rock. Solid rock. And so that solid rock is interesting because it doesn't allow a root to go down deep. But it will germinate the seed very quickly because the sun shines down on it, and instead of going way down into the earth, it hits that rock that the farmer wasn't aware of. And so then at that point, the sun reflects back up off that rock, and it germinates the earth very quickly. And then you will see the plant grow, but it has no substance. It has no depth, is what Jesus is going to teach here. So for now, just we see here, it says, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. It was very shallow, very shallow. Now remember, the soil represents what? Our hearts. So he's saying this seed was sown, some on the wayside, some there in the soil that appeared to be good, but underneath was this rock that was there, this purpose in the person's heart. Today, as a Christian, we can have soil that appears to be good. We're not to judge a person ever. We can't do that. According to Matthew chapter 7, we don't judge. But in Matthew chapter 7, it says that we are to be fruit inspectors. And we can look at a person's life. And often we find, unfortunately, people that have this layer of soil that seems to be good. And it seems that a plant grows up, starting to grow up, but all of a sudden it has no depth in it. And it can't be fertilized and it can't be cultivated. And then, as it says right there, it withers away. Then now let's look at verse 7. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Now in our minds, we think maybe a thorn bush. Again, a farmer is not that stupid. What he would do, first of all, he would go out into that field that he has and he owns. He gets rid of the rocks. Then he gets rid of the thorn bushes. So what is Jesus talking about here? In that soil, even though he pulls out thorn bushes, is the root of those thorn bushes in many times. There's the seeds of the thorn bushes. So again, you can have this soil that seems to be good soil. And it appears and it begins to grow. But underneath, the seed is getting choked off, and it may even come to the surface, and if it's not taken care of and not dealt with correctly, then the thorns will come around and intertwine themselves and choke off the fruitfulness of that plant. Have you ever seen a tree that is covered by vines? Anybody? You know, you ever notice that the vines will kill a tree? You do that, so you go and get those vines out. It's the same thing that's going on there. You have to be aware of what's going on as you cultivate, as you're a farmer, as you're taking the seed. You're always aware, oh, golly, that seed could fall on the wayside. I got to watch. I got to pray. I've got to be careful of that. The person, it can be for evangelism. Billy Brandel's here somewhere. He goes down in Broad Ripple, and he just takes the seed and puts it out. That seed, in some ways, is going to fall on the wayside in people's hearts. They'll just keep walking right by. They'll keep walking by. It's the wayside because of their choice. Others, you know, they may stop just for a moment. They'll start listening, and it's right there, but it has no depth. They hear it, but it has no depth. Then you can get to this place where, you know, they'll stay longer. They'll even have a conversation. They may even appear to be embracing the truths of the Lord. But in reality, the seed has gone out. The gospel message has gone out. But it doesn't have place where it's really going to produce fruit. Notice in verse 8 says, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprung up, increased, produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, notice he closes it out again, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Interesting. Here we see the seed fell on good ground. It sprung up and increased in fruitfulness. The picture is not only of immediate fruit, but of sustained and ongoing growth and productivity. In Luke chapter 8, there's an interesting verse that is in the midst of the teaching there that Luke gives on the parable of the sower, and it says this: "But the ones that fell on good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Often we want fruitfulness. We're the instant generation, are we not? Anybody agree with that? You know, I mean, fast food, right there. We sit in a restaurant, doesn't come right away, we get impatient. Anybody else? You know, everything has to be quick. But it isn't that way. Jesus is saying there's this soil. There's different soils out there, and it takes time. And even here where we see fruitfulness, 30, 60, some 100, it takes time for that fruit to be produced. Jesus began the parable with the challenge to listen to what he had to say, and then he ends the parable with another plea to truly hear and embrace the truth he is presenting. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's move on to verse 10. "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12, notice not just the disciples, those others that were around him, appeared to come to him and asked him about the parable." Good for them. Very good. "And he said to them," now notice what Jesus does as a wise teacher. He takes the word of God to explain the word of God. He's just presented the word of God, sower, parable of the sower. So now he has hearts that are interested, and they open themselves up to this. "Teach me more, Lord." And that's what we should do with the word of God. Sometimes parables are very hard to understand. They aren't necessarily intended to be easy to understand. They're intended to hide a truth, so then we have to deal with that truth in such a way that we become open to God to speak to our hearts, and he speaks to our hearts in the truth that is found there, but also in application to our lives individually. But it takes time. It takes us to slow down. It takes us time to meditate and to memorize and study the word of God. True? It does. We're a busy society. We want everything instantly. But if we want fruit and more fruit, and we want our fruit to remain, and we much fruit, then we have to be patient. We have to cultivate. If we want, I forgot the saying, it just came to my mind, but it's talking about an oak tree. If we want an oak tree to grow in the life of a person, you know, it takes a lot of years, With our children, it takes a lot of years, doesn't it? Sometimes they're downright ornery. I was with this most beautiful, beautiful little child and everything, and then she just let out with something, and I thought, "Woo, where'd she learn that one?" And the parents are going, "Didn't learn that from me." Wherever she learned it from, woo, you know, and all that. But it takes nurturing. You can just smack that child. That's going to do a lot. Or you can just sit down with him and say, "Honey, it'd be better not to do that. Wherever that came from, let's go this direction in that way." It takes time. So that's what he's saying. He brings the people together and look at verse 11. He says to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Man, when you read that, that comes out of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. You look at that and say, Jesus sure is mean, isn't he? You look at that, lest they should turn and hear and their sins be forgiven them. No, he's not being mean whatsoever. When it says seeing they may see, means for all their seeing, they won't see. For all their hearing, they won't hear. That's what this verse literally means. Because if they would truly see he who is standing before them, their life is going to be radically changed. But he's talking about the power of choice here and what is going on in the fruitfulness of the soil, the position of the heart in that way. For all that they see the miracles, they see this, they see the dead raised from back to life, they see all these things, but yet they don't see. Why don't they see? Why don't we see at times? Because of our hearts. It's the soil. See, the soil there. The word of God is constant and it's always the same, but where it falls in our hearts for salvation, but also for us as Christians today. As the word here is being sown, it's going to fall on different soil. I'm thinking, boy, I hope he's going to finish real quick. If that's your hope, don't hope. You know, I'm going to go 2 hours, 13 minutes, and 14 seconds, okay? That's what we're going to do today, no. But, you know, some have hopes, and we have to be careful. Are we truly open? As the seed is being sown, just say, Lord, take it deep. Do we take time before we come into a setting like this and say, Lord, I want to learn? Whatever you would say, Bill may not be on, he may have a bad day and all that, but what is it that you will say? You guys with me? Because it says in Isaiah that the word will go out and it will come back with, and it will come back accomplishing what God has intended it to accomplish. It can accomplish 30-fold, it can accomplish 60-fold, it can accomplish 100-fold, and then it can come back and there's zero there. But still, the word of God has gone forth and it's brought a challenge. You guys with me on that? It's challenging. Even though it goes on a hard heart, it's accomplished what it will do. Unfortunately, the danger is that heart would become even more hard. For salvation, that's an issue. People will hear. People can live in, they can come to church. Remember Billy Graham when he preaches? He goes, you. He leans on the thing like this and he goes, you. You may even be an elder. You may be on the board of your church, but you have not repented of your sins. I love when he did that. I really did. They're there. Just because they're in the cookie jar doesn't make them a cookie. It really doesn't. You're supposed to laugh. That's an old one. Okay, I know. But anyway, and so we have to understand that word is being sown. And even as Christians, it can be 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And so that's what he's saying. Seeing, they may see. He's talking about salvation here and not perceive. Hearing, they may hear and not understand. Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. God wants every person's sin to be forgiven. But sometimes there are people that will not turn to them. This verse doesn't mean that those outside are denied the possibility of belief. But it indicates they are excluded from the opportunity of being fully instructed in the secret of God's kingdom so long as their unbelief continues. Therefore, one should not understand this to mean that God has designed his revelation so as to deliberately exclude some from coming to a saving knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. No, he didn't design it that way. He's just telling us what's going to happen. God says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All means what? All. Not just a select few. Not just the chosen frozen. But all people. He comes and sows the word of God if they will listen to that. In Titus it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. But it is important to understand that God has designed his revelation so as not to overpower a person's freedom to refuse or see the obvious. To see the obvious. It's out there. That's what he's teaching there. Now look at verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? What's with you guys? How then will you understand all the parables? I don't think he's yelling at them. He's just instructing them and encouraging them because they come with open hearts and they're asking. Now he gives the interpretation, you've read it before, of this sower. The sower sows what? The word of God. I've already mentioned that. Who's the sower? Can be God, can be you, can be me, even at this very moment. So we see that there. Then, in verse 15, he begins to give us further understanding about this parable. And he says, and these are the ones by the wayside when the word is sown. These are people. When the word is sown, when they hear with their ears, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. There's spiritual warfare going on, isn't there? That's what it tells us. So when we sow the word of God, we have to be aware the enemy's going to try to rip them off. Amen? I have learned a long time ago, where I knew the Lord and I sold bare old desert land up in a place called Victorville in Apple Valley in California. And this is how they taught us. They taught us that if you get a sale and you don't follow up on that, quote, sale, that you can take and rip your paychecks in half. They said if you didn't call within 24 to 48 hours to follow up, because they had an ability to cancel. They had like 72 hours to cancel after they had purchased the property. So they taught us as salesmen, you want to follow up in people's lives. But sometimes we, and I'm not giving a sales pitch or anything like that, but just from a caring heart, we've got to make sure that when a person accepts the Lord, that, you know, they're with them. We're willing to be with them. We call them and nurture them, invite them over to our house. We invite them to church. We spend time with people because there's an enemy, right? There's an enemy that's going to rip things off. Now, for us as Christians, let's apply it for that too. As the word goes out, God wants 30-fold. He wants 60-fold. He may want 100-fold. Fruit in our hearts concerning a certain issue. But the enemy is right there ready to rip it off. And often we give place for the enemy. In the scriptures it says, give no opportunity for the enemy. We as Christians can give opportunity in ways that we should not. Jesus is teaching that. These are the ones by the wayside when the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So we've got to be aware of that. Hearts. It's interesting. He's not talking obviously about a physical heart. He's talking about the very core of a person. But you remember that it is within our power to prevent Satan from taking away the seed. It's within our power. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He has to. Greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. Amen. So there is that ability in our lives to resist where the enemy tries to rob and steal and destroy. Look at verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. Here's the stony ground. Remember what the stony ground was. It's underneath the soil. It appears to be good. Who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, they, wow, I can't believe how exciting that is. I hear the word of God there. And so they receive it with gladness in verse 17. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they do what? They stumble. So for salvation issues, we can see that in people's lives. They seem to embrace the word of God. We are so excited about what's going on. They are doing that, but we have to be a wise sower. We have to understand what's going on. There's an enemy to rip it off. If he doesn't rip it off right away, then there's a danger that as they continue forward, that it will not have true root where it can be fruitful. You guys with me on that? And it's the hidden. Because on the top, on the surface, it seems good. Now, let's make application to the church, and it can be that way within any given church. Well, it seems that that person, you know, they're saying the right things. They're saying the right things, but they're not really, truly deep in establishing the word in their hearts. They're not memorizing, meditating, or whatever it would be, truly reading and studying the word. It seems okay. They come to church. They come in with their Bibles and all of that, but there's a limit because underneath the soil, there's this rock. There's something in their heart. There's issues that have to be, and God, he knows, and as a wise farmer, he'll come in and he'll break that up so that fruit can come forth and bring glory to him. So they're stony ground. They have no root in themselves. They endure only for a short time. When tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. And then verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. Thorns, it's interesting now. He goes into this area and he explains it. They are the ones who hear the word. And notice what happens in verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes, what's it say? Unfruitful. Let's pause just for a moment to see what is going on here in this. Jesus said that we must be mindful of the cares of the world. It's interesting what is being stated here. This is a person who is overly concerned about the anxieties of everyday life. The cares of the world, the word that's used in the original Greek, points to anxiety. Anxiety, worry. They worry. The Greek word cares points to the one who constantly worries. Constantly worries. That's what it's saying here. Anxieties. That anxiety has taken over in this person's life, and they constantly are worrying instead of moving by faith. By faith. Now, we can all fall into that trap. You know, there's some things I go, oh, wow. I just don't know how you're going to do that, Lord. I really don't. And so I find myself being anxious. My heart goes boom, 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 you know, like that. And I find that and I go, okay, I'm not supposed to be there. I know the scripture, okay? And so then I take scripture and I just meditate on scripture and bring me back to this point. Ah, by faith, we are supposed to move in this situation. But other times we can come to a point and we are totally consumed in anxieties. Now, I'm not saying there aren't real problems. There are real problems. But when it comes to the point that it overcomes us, in such a way that even the word will come to us, the encouragement will come from another person, the truth will come to us as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, that we are so captivated by that worry and that anxiety that there is no way for victory to take place. That's what Jesus is saying. Watch out for the cares of the world. It's a dangerous place. Notice he says, number two, the deceitfulness of riches. This is a big one. It truly is, especially in our society. We worry about finances. We do things for finances that gets into trouble. Money in itself is not evil, yet it can take on the characteristic of evil. And it is so dangerous that Paul wrote, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Be careful. Be careful what we're worrying about. Are you worrying about retirement? That's a young person that said that. Oh, that was you, John? That was an old fogey that said that. You know, I think that we should prepare. We should do all that we should. I'm 100% for that. But when that becomes our life, you guys with me? That's what Jesus is teaching. It becomes beyond something that's supposed to be. And then we have to be very, very careful. And notice the desires and the lust for other things. This is a big one. He puts this in. Is there anything that would stand between a person and God? As the seed goes forth, the gospel goes out, and then it's presented. And if they embrace that, they can have eternal life. But yet there's something inside of them. How many have we witnessed to? And the seed goes out, and the gospel message is right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What about that? You want that? And then there's some issue right there. There's something inside of their heart. Come back from having eternal life. That's what Jesus is talking about. Lust, desires. Many things are not evil on and of themselves, but anything may become evil if it hinders the growth of the word of God in oneself. And notice he says, it choked the word and it becomes unfruitful. Notice the consequences of allowing these things to take over in your life. They choke out the word of God, and the fruit in your life does not grow to maturity. It's a dangerous thing. And then Jesus closes it out in verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, on the heart that is truly open and prepared. These who hear the word, they accept it. Notice there's an acceptance that takes place, actually taking it in and clinging to it. Not do they just hear, but they truly listen, but they accept. That means, again, clinging to it, and they bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. It's interesting. It's very important. Bruce, in his Greek Testament study, says that this concerning the degrees of fruitfulness, as he addresses the degrees of fruitfulness, he says this. This terminology that Jesus is using points to good, better, and best. Not inferior, not respectable, and not admirable. Thus, the lowest degree degree is deemed satisfactory. Satisfactory. Jesus is saying, hey, fruit 30-fold is good. Fruit 60-fold is good. Fruit 100-fold is good. And he's the one that will produce that fruit. So in this parable, we have seen the unresponsive heart in verse 15. In this parable, we've seen the impulsive heart in verses 16 and 17. In this parable, in verses 18 and 19, we've seen the preoccupied heart. And then we have seen in verse 20, the good, responsive, or well-prepared heart. Today, I pray that we would cry out, Lord, make my heart good and prepared. And you're going to see on the screen here right now, the way we've seen this is on through the property. The wayside ground is an unplowed heart, which results in a hardened heart. Be careful. Two, the stony ground is a rootless heart, which results in a superficial life. And third, the thorny ground is a worldly heart, which results in a strangled life. And then fourth, the fruitful ground is an honest heart, which results in a fruitful life. Which fruit do you guys want? Because it gets down to our choice so many times. Jesus said this in John chapter 15. Do you want to be fruitful? He said, all we have to do is abide in him. Amen? That's what we have to do. We don't have to figure everything out. We just say, Jesus, I love you. Did you guys say that this morning? Jesus, I love you. John always responds. I'm going to have to pay him more. But, you know, did we just say, Jesus, I love you? And I don't know a lot, but all I want to do is draw close to you. I want to surrender my life today, living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to you. And this is my act of spiritual worship. Lord, I just want to surrender so I won't be conformed to this world. I just want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So, Lord, in my life today, there will be perfect and acceptable and good will that you have. And, Lord, empower me, seriously, Lord, to walk in the Spirit so I won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. And, Jesus, I just pray, would you be preeminent over my life? And as we do that and we just abide in him, he will bring forth his fruit. He will bring forth his more fruit. And he will bring forth much fruit. Different areas may have different fruitfulness, but we will still be fruitful and our fruit will remain. Is that exciting? Let's stand and let's pray. Lord, a simple study this morning, and I just pray and for your application. I pray that as the seed has gone forth, it's gone forth in a way that as it goes into the ears, it finds a heart that is prepared. Today, there may be a person that has never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we've lifted up the name of Jesus Christ, and we know that salvation comes only through him. If there is that person, might they simply repent of their sins, and then the fruit of salvation would be in their lives. But for us as Christians, in application, Lord, different soils, but I pray that you would just work in our hearts, cultivate our hearts, cultivate our lives, that we, Lord, can be these blossoming trees, these blossoming plants. Lord, that you would have your way and you would be the one to produce the fruit. Your word says, be confident of this very thing, that he, you, Lord, who has begun a good work in us, we'll continue it into the day of Jesus Christ. Have your way. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the